Hey, what's going on, Clipper Nation? It's me, William the Opinion Updike. And just off top, I hope everybody's doing all right out there. Haven't done a wellness check in a while. I know that the loss was a little bit tough. Clippers v. Lakers tonight. But hey, look on the bright side. Basketball is back. All things considered, pretty good game. So we don't have any positive Chuck Mockler today. But I'm going to do my best to try and keep things positive as best I can. And just to let everybody know out there, he is doing all right. He's just kind of had a bit of a flu. However, I'm hoping that he'll be back for our next episode. If not, we'll see. Maybe we can line up another special guest. But I've got a heck of a show lined up for you today. Obviously, you're going to be devoting a lot of time to a recap of that Clippers-Lakers game in which we fell 101 to 103. There's a lot to dig into there. First half was largely pretty bad, but there's some good stuff to talk about in that second half. Definitely got more competitive than it was in the beginning. And then I'm going to be talking about the upcoming Pelicans matchup. And I'm going to look at, you know, what we're going to need to do well to win that one, as well as what could go wrong. This was one of those games that on the schedule, you know, looked a little bit challenging to me. But I'm hoping that we can come out with a dub in that one. And then it is Friday. I'm going to have a little bit of a love, Mary quarantine for you, just depending on how much time we have is how much I'll get into it. So anyways, thanks for rocking with me. If you didn't know, it's Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network. And yeah, let's go with the show. All right, so opening night of the NBA, and wow, what a couple of games. Both came down to very close scores, with the Jazz eking out a win over the Pelicans and the Clippers falling to the Lakers. One more time, in case you didn't know, the score in that one was 101 to 103. Lakers pulling out the dub. Just some quick stats off the top for you guys. Kawhi was incredible, 28, 3, and 4. Team best plus minus. I mean, this is not a surprise to anybody. The team is obviously better when Kawhi is on the floor. Paul George also was great doing Paul George things. He finished with 35 and 3. He did have some turnovers, a little bit killed us. If we're being frank, he did have 5 turnovers. But overall, great play. He hit some clutch shots down the stretch of this one that were really incredible. Just great to see him back in form so quick. And then Pat Beverly had 12-1-1. So this was kind of an interesting one. In case you didn't know, Pat Bev was listed as questionable coming into this game. And then it kind of came down to the wire whether or not he would play, with Doc, you know, basically just giving a maybe. And then finally the word came down that he would be appearing in tonight's game in the pregame presser. However, Doc said that he didn't necessarily use the words minutes restriction, but he did say that he didn't know what the minutes would look like. And right off the bat, you know, he wasn't in the starting lineup. We did end up going with Reggie. So definitely a different look for the Clippers. But I'll just do a brief recap kind of the game, and then I'll get into what I liked about this one as well as what I didn't. So this one opened with such a weird start. There were so many fouls in this game. I think the Clippers finished with 30 or more. The Lakers were like just under the 30 mark. It felt like, especially in the opening quarters of this game, that the whistle was just happening. Like, I mean, every other possession, if not every possession. The Clippers didn't start out this one great. Just kind of poor execution really on both sides of the floor. Zoo got into foul trouble right away. Really, this was kind of a recurring theme for everybody in this one. Kawhi was at 2 fouls with 5 minutes in the first. The second foul was really garbage. AD was like moving into a block. Both feet clearly weren't planted. And Kawhi got called for the charge. So not great. Not great overall. Obviously, Foster always kind of kills us with the whistle. And Like, Reggie was definitely, I do applaud some of his efforts. He definitely was asked to do a lot more than what he was brought on this team to do. However, defensively, he did not look great. And I think that some of the offensive possessions that he had were not really quality possessions in my eyes. A lot of just what I felt was improper use of the shot clock and some pretty questionable shot selection. But getting back into the review of the whole game, second quarter, there was some poor transition defense. The run got kind of extended by the Lakers. And, like, you know, that's something that you expect from, you know, LeBron or AD, but we were kind of getting killed on this second unit. Getting into the second half, this is where things actually got interesting in this one. So PG was great through this. He got us back into this game with some really timely threes. He also established our lead in this quarter. And, you know, once again, there was some solid bench play from the Lakers, as well as like AD coming back in this one. I think this is the best he shot from three against the Clippers. Overall, only made two, but shot 40%. As opposed to his season regular, which is around like the 33% mark. So considerably better. He got a couple of wide open looks, both of these ones. So I guess, you know, good for him. There was an interesting rotation in which we saw some Amir Coffey minutes. He did hit a three, which was big. I guess I'm a little bit surprised. Not completely surprised, but of the dudes who have been kind of competing for this minutes, you know, I've been talking about this to death, but, you know, these guys competing for this kind of like third guard forward, just kind of third up minutes, you know, relievers to the second string or something to that effect. But anyways, the guys in the running are obviously Terrence Mann, Amir Coffey, and Rodney Magruder. Neither Mann nor Magruder got any run in this one, but we did see Coffey. I a little bit expected this just because Doc, it seems like he has been a fan of Amir Coffey's defensive performance and just being able to knock down that open three. It's a momentum thing sometimes, and I think that him being able to step in and do that, I think was kind of huge in his argument for getting more minutes. And then to finish this one out, man, once again, like the second unit woes kind of continued. Waiters, he hit some shots, which I kind of hated to see. But they built, the Lakers ended up building another like 11-point lead. And then to restart the comeback, Patrick Beverley hit a timely three and then drove to the basket, just like in a really short sequence. Pat Beverley was great. Obviously, you know, like I think this game plays out differently if he obviously gets the start, gets more minutes. And then towards the end, like two things really, I guess, that it kind of decided the game. So Paul George hit a huge shot to tie it, but there was a possession where Alex Caruso got a deflection and then passed the ball back in from out of bounds, which was like a huge possession for the Lakers to regain possession. And then the thing that killed me was the final score for the Lakers that ended up putting them over the top was a LeBron putback off of his own rebound. And this one, like, this one just killed me because there were three dudes right in front of the basket. There was no reason why they shouldn't have boxed out. I'm going to chiefly put this on Marcus Morris. But, you know, there were other people around. This to me was kind of like inexcusable. And I'm going to talk about this more in like the what I didn't like section. But just know that this one irked me. And then in the final possession, Clippers had to put up a shot. Paul George thought he was fouled. It seemed like there was some unclear communication between Kawhi and Paul George. When Kawhi passed out to Paul George, it seems like maybe he was expecting to get the ball back. But George, you know, George had the hot hand. So I really don't know. I think if you need the three to win the game, I guess I'm probably going with Paul George. But, you know, it is what it is. And so let's just get into what I liked. Obviously, I've been talking about it throughout this little recap, but Paul George played incredibly. He played all 12 minutes of the fourth quarter. In that quarter, he had 10 points, 4 of 5 from the floor, 2 of 3 from 3. Just really, really phenomenal play. It's great to see him in that form, just you know, right out the gate. He's looked offensively so smooth through all the scrimmage games and certainly this game. Also, as a team, we shot the ball really pretty well from three. As a team, we shot 44% on 36 attempts, so really, really liking that. It was also just, you know, just from a morale standpoint, it was great to see Pat and Landry back. Not having Pat in those scrimmages, not having Pat, you know, in those minutes on the floor is huge. He's, you know, I think very arguably, or even it might even be a consensus at this point, but the third most important player for the Clippers on the floor at any given time. Landry, he had a little bit of a rough shooting night. He was 1 of 8 from the floor, including 0 of 5 from three. But hey, I'm just happy that he got that number of attempts. You know, Doc says that it's kind of an indication how the ball is moving when you look at Landry's attempts. And I think that, you know, if that is something that we're going to do in terms of like getting Landry going or making sure more movement is happening on that second unit, so we don't always have to rely on the Trez and Lou kind of pick and roll or give and go play. I think that that's going to be important, getting him going. And, you know, even though he didn't have the hand tonight or he didn't have the rhythm, the more shots he's able to get up in these 8 games, the better form he's going to be in the playoffs. And obviously, you know, we know how huge of a player he can be in those situations. So that's about it for what I liked in this one. What I didn't like, I mentioned it up top, but the whistle was insane, and it ended up not being like in terms of actual fouls, not like super. There wasn't a huge discrepancy between one team or the other. However, there were just some questionable calls throughout the game. But you know, we're not here to make excuses. Another thing I didn't like were the center rotations got a little bit shaky. We got killed in the paint. 40-24, nearly doubled our points in the paint, and rebounding was killer. We also allowed double the amount of second chance points, which wasn't a huge factor in this one, but there were a couple of possessions where they got so many offensive rebounds, I just thought the possession was never going to end, which you hate to see. So Jamike at the 5 lineup still does seem to be working, however. I just don't know what we're doing with Marcus Morris at this point. he overall was like okay. In the box, in the plus minus, he was a positive impact. He was 0 of 4. He has yet to score against the Lakers. And I mean, Jamichael was 2 of 4 from 3. So that helps, you know, but like, the thing is, with these smaller lineups, if we're not able to offensively, create space for the main guys and knock down the open shots when they're available, I really, truly fail to see the advantage of going with these smaller lineups. AD, also, just going off the center rotations, he killed us. He had 34 points, and, you know, that's fine. It makes sense. It's you know, if you're keeping everybody else from going off, I think that he's the guy that, you're going to maybe let go a little bit more as long as you're avoiding some of the easy shots at the rim, forcing him to take some harder shots. But the thing that killed me was like he had 17 free throw attempts. Half these points were off free throws, which, you know, like I don't feel any way qualitatively about free throws or whatever. I just think that we had to be a little bit more disciplined in fouling him that many times. Also, Zoo, he could not finish. I think he was 1 of 3 from the floor. He looked definitely out of shape, which, you know, I'm not going to give him a hard time on. He's a younger dude. I'm sure he's going to be quicker maybe than some other people who are having trouble with their conditioning just due to his age. But yeah, it definitely looked like he was dogging it at times. And so Joakim had some up and down play. He did have like a really nice, he did have one really nice sequence, but, you know, once again, like the fouling was troublesome. And then overall, like the bench just really suffered. The bench got outscored 35 to 31 in this one, which it's not that much, you know, it's 4 points. It felt like a lot more. As I said earlier, like it was nice to see some coffee in those minutes. And also like underrated player of the game, I would have to say is Pat. He was the only neutral plus minus player on the bench, and Jamichael was the only bench player with a positive plus minus. So, I mean, it just shows that obviously we're going to miss Lou and Trez. I guess I was it's one of those things where like, I was just a little bit more sure of our depth coming into this than I am now. And then just my biggest dislike, honestly, was just execution. Like I said, there was just a sequence at the end where LeBron got his own rebound and got the putback dunk. And I just kind of felt like that one was inexcusable. Morris should have boxed out on that. Reggie should have came over to help. I'll have to rewatch it some more to see exactly where things broke down. But that one just was pretty egregious to me. And the closing lineup overall. So we went with the closing lineup of Reggie, PG, Kawhi, Marcus Morris, and Jamichael. I guess I would have liked to see Pat out there is like the biggest thing. If we're going small at the end, I think that's fine. But if Morris is not going to be a plus defender in crunch minutes, and he's also not generating any offense, like maybe we do need to go bigger and just play Jamichael at the four. But I don't know. So anyways, that's going to do it for this recap of the Lakers matchup. Coming up next, I'm going to have a preview for the Clippers' second NBA bubble game against the New Orleans Pelicans. All right, so I'm back, and we're going to be talking the preview for the Clippers versus the Pelicans. So a little bit of a matchup preview just coming into this. We have played the Pelicans on three other occasions so far this season. The first was back in November, which feels like an entire lifetime ago. We lost that one 127 to 132. This was kind of a funky game. There was no Kawhi, no Pat Bev, obviously no Zion for the Pelicans, but this was like kind of a weird one where Lou got the start. They ended up with the dub, close margin of victory, beat us by 5 points. Then November 24th, man, two rounds with the Pelicans in 2 weeks. We blew them out of the water, 109 to 134. We had a full roster. They did not have Zion. This was a game where Trez was the leading scorer. I think he had like 34 points, something like that. But it was plus. It was more than 30. And then the most recent matchup against the Pelicans was January 18th. We ended up winning that one in a nail biter, 133 to 130. I don't know if it's obvious, but the Pelicans still did not have Zion at that time, and we were without Paul George in this matchup due to the hamstring injury that took him out after he had recovered from his shoulder surgery. So looking at this game, what we need to do well, this sounds maybe a little generic, but like we got to play great defense. The Pels are just not a strong defensive team. Obviously, Drew Holiday is a great defender. Lonzo has his moments, but you know they're a young team, and they're not solid defensively. And offensively, they average a similar amount of points per game as us. Actually, not even similar. It's the exact same. Both the Clippers and the Pelicans are tied for fourth in terms of points per game throughout the regular season, both at 116. I think going off of this defensive thing, this really is a pretty good matchup for both of our forwards. I think Kawhi, if he does end up taking on Zion, I'm not really sure how they're going to end up working out that rotation, but if so, that's a nightmare matchup for Zion. Paul George on Brandon Ingram is definitely rough too. And then, you know, you can kind of switch those guys around on whoever's the biggest threat offensively for the Pelicans. But yeah, it's gotta be strong out the gate. And I think that this is one of those things that, that that is just going to demoralize a younger team, especially a team who's trying to figure things out, trying to claw their way into the playoffs. Just opening with some really strong defense will help that out. And hopefully we'll see Pat Bev back in the starting lineup. I don't know what his minutes are going to look like, but hopefully we're getting back up to that normal amount that we would see from him. Another thing we got to do well is kind of find a way to mitigate the holes in the second unit. So tonight, Thursday, the Pel's second unit, two players, JJ Redick and Josh Hart, combined for 31 points, which is the entirety of what the Clippers bench scored in tonight's contest. So it would be very surprising if JJ Redick had another like supernova game like that where he goes off for 21, 4, and 3. But, like I said, the Lakers bench, they barely outscored us, but to the eye test, it was looking a lot better. Not a lot better, but it was looking better than what we had rolling out for that second unit. And the bench scoring has been huge for us. In both of our victories against the Pelicans, our bench has crushed theirs by 25 plus points. So figuring out a way to make up those points, obviously missing two scores, is going to be really difficult. I'm hoping that we'll see Reggie back with the second unit. And, if he goes back to playing kind of like some of the hero ball maybe that he did tonight, I think that that's fine if it's on the second unit. I think that, it makes more sense on the second unit. Like, he'll probably be roasting people. But we do have Shamit out there. So hopefully he can kind of get his stroke back. That'll definitely make up for some. But, I'm hoping that we don't have to dig as deep into the reserves in this one. But we'll see. The other thing we got to do to win is just move the ball around. Tonight, we had 17 assists. We averaged like 24 per game. I really don't want to see this number lower than 20. Once again, I think having Pat back in the starting lineup is going to help out with that. I like Reggie. Like if you listen to this podcast, you know that I've been a fan of how his fit has looked with this team. But I think in both the starts, it's just clear that the offense is a lot clunkier. It's not quite fitting yet. And that makes sense. And they also average 27 assists a game, the Pelicans do, which is third in the NBA. They can move the ball around pretty solid. So what could go wrong in this one? A big thing I think is if we don't match their intensity early, I think it's going to be a long night. This is a must-win game for them, really. They are, they're pretty far back in the standings. Obviously, they have some guys that want to make a playoff push. Like, they have guys like JJ Redick, who has this long-running playoff streak. They have guys like Jrue Holiday, who have had success in the playoffs. They had these young guys like Lonzo and D'Angelo, who want, or sorry, like Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, who D'Angelo, what am I thinking? Who want to make these playoff pushes. And then obviously, the NBA wants nothing more than for Zion to be involved in these playoffs. So just matching their intensity is going to be really, really huge. Another thing that could go wrong is if we have another poor rebounding performance. They've out-rebounded us by 12 plus rebounds in two out of the three games. And we definitely have to limit their second chance opportunities too. They're a really solid offensive rebounding team. They're like looking at their second chance points in, I think, all but one game, they've nearly doubled ours. And Zion is also a pretty solid offensive rebounder. So he's not going to help us in this regard. And Favors has had some pretty good games against us as well. I think he had one game where he had like 20 plus rebounds. So that's solid. And then just the other thing that could go wrong, like we still got to figure out what we're doing at the five. Like I said, Favors can be difficult. I'm hoping though that this Favors matchup would be favorable for, God, I hate myself for that. That was not an intended pun. But I'm hoping that this matchup would be a solid matchup for either one of Zoo or Joakim. We'll just have to see what happens though. But maybe we go the other way. Like maybe we do play more small with this. Maybe Morris is you know, looking back in rhythm and Jamaica is also able to hit. So we'll see. Anyways, my prediction for this one is I was worried about this one on the schedule. I was initially predicting a loss on this one, but I do think that we're going to end up taking it home. I think we're taking this one 110-104. Let's go Clips. I'll be back with a very quick shavings for you guys. All right, cool. So as you know, the day you're listening to this, you're probably reeling in the aftermath of the loss to the Lakers. Definitely, is there a bigger hometown rivalry? I guess maybe in Chicago, the Sox Cubs thing. I don't even think the Knicks Nets anymore is as big of a rivalry, but I was wondering about some other rivalries that might be present just for the Clippers. So these are just Clippers kind of interpersonal rivalries. So on the board, I've got Doc versus Lunchtime. And if you're familiar with this podcast, we've talked about it. If you've ever seen Doc in a press conference, he really hates afternoon games. And his biggest reason for why the team has performed poorly in some of them this season is that guys can't get into their routine. You know, they can't get their lunch. Which is like a Docism that I love. So Doc versus Lunchtime is on the board. Reggie versus the Shot Clock I'm putting on there because, man, he was really dominating some possessions this game. No disrespect to Reggie. I have loved a lot of his stuff so far, but you know what? When you nag the Clippers, they will succeed. And then also on the board, we got Zoo versus the Dew. And this one, now that I'm reading it, could really go two ways. The way I was thinking of it is Zoo versus hairdos. He's now got a shaved head, so maybe he's self-conscious about his hairstyle. And maybe he starts rocking some wigs or something like that to try and feel more comfortable about it. I like the idea of that. But it could also be Zoo versus Mountain Dew, in which case, you know, maybe teammates don't allow Zubats to drink Mountain Dew. He gets a little too wild, you know? He does seem like a guy who would pound some Mountain Dew. I would not be surprised if he's got a 2-liter of Dew back at the old resort. So anyways, what am I love marrying quarantining? I'm going to love Doc versus Lunchtime. It's just, it's a great rivalry. You know, Doc, he needs his lunchtime. He's a man who likes routine, which is ironic because we haven't had a whole lot of routine with the Clippers this year. And I'm going to go ahead and marry Zoo versus the Dew. I'm not going to specify which one I'm choosing to marry because I think we're going to keep it open. I think that we're doing, that's how we do it around here, Locked On Clips. We keep it open, we keep it free. And I'm going to quarantine Reggie versus the Shot Clock. I'm hoping that he looks better. I'm hoping that he looks better through these games. It's just having him on the starting unit. It's too much of a. I think it's just too much of a task to kind of ask him to take up. But anyways, that's gonna do it for me. Thanks so much for listening. As I said, I'm William the Opinion Updike. On Monday's episode, I'll have a recap for you of the Clips versus Pels game. Hopeful victory there. Maybe we'll have some Trez news. Really, really not sure what's going on with that. And then whatever else happens between now and then in Clipperland, I'll be sure to keep you updated. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you haven't already, please subscribe on iTunes. Go ahead, leave a rating or review. Love it. Also available on Spotify. And you can tell your smart speaker to play Locked On Clippers. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. I appreciate you.